Oh, there she
Hi.
is. Hey.
Yes, I am.
That you had some update information. I saw that some good news and a bit of good news in all this is that a lot of the manuscripts and documents apparently were stored underground in the library and they may not have been lost. And then also I got updates from people in neighborhoods about police chasing arsonists who are after the fact arsonists. So you are a ward councilor in the 54th ward of Cape Town, correct?
That's correct. I am a city councillor. So my area hasn't been directly affected by the fire, but obviously this is an issue, and all of Cape Town is standing behind the communities affected, and the firefighters are out there on the fire line doing phenomenal work.
And a lot of people are asking about the firefighters, and they're talking about the aviators. And I point out what incredible risk those aviators are at because of updrafts, smoke, obscuration, not to mention you're flying in front of a massive mountain. You could turn, and it could be a short distance. I would have to agree from my perspective. I'm a little questions about how the fire was dressed, but there's no time for that right now. Now it's got to subdue the fire, get under control. But from what I have seen, the images of firefighters and the footage, it seems that they're doing heroic work there. It seems like you'd agree.
Oh, absolutely. I always agree. I think, as most of us people, we'll run away from a fire, as we should do. They're running in towards it, into the danger, and so much can happen and change on that fire line in an instant. I'm aware that we have one firefighter who's been taken to hospital with burns. And I think particularly with these wildfires on the mountain, where it's so unpredictable and the conditions change so quickly, and the wind is going in one direction, and without you realizing quickly it's changing, and you have fires swirling around you. So they really are truly phenomenal. I think it's also worth mentioning that it's not only the City of Cape Town's fire department that's up there. South African National Parks have their fire teams working on fires up there, and then there's also an amazing group of volunteers who are exceptionally well-trained volunteers, work wildfire fighting service. And they're up there on the fire line as well. And these are people who are going to go to their day job in the morning, but they spent the day today and into the evening fighting that fire as volunteers. So there are really a huge amount of phenomenally brave and dedicated people who are galvanized and rush out to help in these situations. And we're extremely lucky to have people willing to do that.
Now, as a member of the city government, obviously you have better information than the general public, it seems, and which is one reason why I want to talk to you. Some things that we've heard during the day and we've tried to confirm, we've got some confirmation, but if you're able to confirm this, please let us know. But we understand that an initial investigation by the South African National Park Service determined that a vagrant fire may have been the proximate cause of the blaze initially. Is that true, what we're hearing, or at least is that the statement that's come out?
That is a statement that's come out so far. I mean, they will launch a full investigation as the scene becomes more accessible, but they do say it was an unintended fire that started the initial blaze on Hospital Bend, close to Rhodes Memorial. That will be investigated, but it is likely so. That's an area that I've not seen many reports previously of these sort of cooking fires that happen on the mountain. But people do use that area to come and go regularly from the mountain. So sadly, that might be the case. And then that spread extremely fast across the mountains on that side. And as I say, these fires create their own wind, and it becomes quite powerful and pushed forward across the mountain. So that's the initial fire that started this morning, and that's been blazing for most of the day, and that went across through and has damaged a significant amount of infrastructure in the area.
Now, and we've also seen some pretty horrific losses. I mean, potentially some damages into the collection there at the library at UCT. Also, I saw the images of Mostert's mill, which is destroyed now. That's really sad to see. We have seen, as you mentioned, the fire leaps. A lot of people want to jump to conclusions and lay blame, but we don't know. You can't do that at this sort of stage. This could be simply, as it was, a vagrant's fire. The conditions, that's it's almost, unfortunately, a perfect situation for fire to grow rapidly with those hills, with the way that wind channels through there, the temperature, everything's dry. It's been very dry of late. That's another issue. And then we saw, as you saw the day go on, you saw the fire climb because the tinder was lifted up and carried up higher onto Table Mountain, and you saw higher elevations burning, which, of course, there aren't fire hydrants and trucks up there at that elevation. So that's got to be particularly concerning.
Absolutely. And I think, the key thing is we don't know for 100% certainty what's happened here, but we need to try and find out and address that it has happened on National Parks land. And that's the difficult thing of being in a big city, a big metro, which has a national park all along its border. We're grateful to have it. It's beautiful, wonderful, but it does create these scenarios where there is a large natural vegetation area that can burn. As we're middle of April, we've had a very dry April, a very hot April as well, and which has also contributed to that. The Mostert Mill is just also it's devastating to see a building like that, an old mill, historic monument that has gone up in flames, that had a thatched roof, and the sparks from these fires just travel so far that sparks hit that thatched roof, and before you can do anything, it really went up in flames so quickly. We've also seen those sparks travel down to the main road, a good, I'd say, 400 meters away, and burn trees down on the main road. So it really is destructive how the far those sparks can fly and the amount of damage they can do. The Ursul Rhodes Memorial Restaurant attached to the monument up on the mountain there, that burnt, and unfortunately it's likely that the gas cylinders at the restaurant there overheated and there was an explosion at the restaurant. Thankfully, amazingly, nobody was hurt in that, but that's devastating loss as well. And then to see what's happened at University of Cape Town, UCT, is absolutely tragic. My alma mater, I think of my time sitting on the Jameson steps in the library there, and it's just really very, very emotional. The city's mayor, Dan Plato, did visit the university earlier on today. The good news, a small little iota of good news, is that some of the rare collection and really irreplaceable work that the library contains is held in underground rooms which have fireproof doors, roller doors, which were activated, and they do believe that a large amount of that is still intact. But the full extent of the damage will only be known in the next few days as things become easier to access and investigations are done. But it is very tragic. You also did mention in your introduction, chasing of arsonists. So we have seen as well this evening, about 2 hours ago, three people setting three different fires on a different section of the mountain, about 2 kilometers away from where this fire started. Really tragic to think that people are willing to go and do that. Our fire services are stretched to the limit, and then to be diverted to these fires started intentionally is quite heartbreaking. Congratulations to the Metro Police from the City of Cape Town, who have arrested one of the arsonists, and that fire has been contained by the city's fire department. But to create that diversion, to create that additional pull on the resources and further destruction of our natural vegetation is extremely heartbreaking. So it's really, one has to question how people can even think to do that. It's just beyond reality.
No, absolutely, I'm with you, but one would just conclude or make the assumption initially that it's either pyromaniacs who are attracted to that sort of thing, or it's political, and in either case, it's horrific, whichever it is, and it's a shame that people would do that, because people can die from this. It's really unfortunate, not to mention the loss of patrimony and cultural heritage. But a few things very quickly about this. One thing I haven't heard about, and I don't know if anything about this, of course, lots of people are out hiking on Table Mountain and around there. There is, unfortunately, the possibility that someone may have perished in the fire that we don't know about, has been accounted for. But as of right now, there are no fatalities. We just have the at least two firefighters. I know for one was injured and was taken to hospital, but the other was treated on scene. He appeared to be okay for burns.
You're right. One doesn't know what will happen once people realize that somebody's not is missing and didn't come home at the end of the day. The Table Mountain National Parks did put out an evacuation call very early on when they realized that this fire was spreading very fast. So hopefully that call was heeded by the people in the mountain. They had rangers out immediately up on the path looking for people and hikers to get them out of the area. And we haven't heard of any reports yet of anybody not returning home. But hopefully that is the case, that everybody did come off the mountain safely and intact. Obviously, the wildlife are the wildlife services have been up in the area. They are on standby currently. It's been too hot for them to really get into the area to see what if they can rescue any injured or damaged animals. But they are on scene there, waiting to access the area and dealing with any animals that who may be fleeing from the scene and may be injured.
Those are good points as well. Now, an additional thing is we need to let people know, because some people had a false sense of security earlier. The fire is not under control at this hour, is it?
It's definitely not under control. There's been over 200 firefighters fighting this fire on the line. We've had over 4 helicopters throughout the afternoon and day, water bombing the fire and the buildings that caught light. But it's definitely not under control. There are still crews up on the mountains throughout the night, and there will be into tomorrow. From where I've been sitting, you can see the fire cresting over the top of Devil's Peak. And with the wind starting to pick up again now on this side, it's likely that that will fan the flames and push it down the side of the mountain towards the Cape Town CBD. We can hope that the winds will stay calm through the night and that firefighters will be able to get a handle on it. But until the choppers are able to be redeployed in the morning at first light, it is a very dicey situation through the night.
All right, so people, I've told people, as an Army guy, a retired Army officer, I always have what I call a go bag. I mean, I have one right now. I mean, I'm not in any jeopardy here, but having lived in 8 countries in Africa and been prepared to evacuate in a moment's notice plus combat, you always have a go bag. And what I recommend to Cape Tonians today is make sure you have a go bag. Get a little rucksack, put some underwear, put some change of clothing in there, put a toothpaste, toothbrush, underarm deodorant, whatever you need. Make sure you have your passports, your credit cards, any valuable documents you need, because you may think you're perfectly safe, but by morning, you may hear a knock on the door if you're lucky and it's time to get out and there's a fire 100 meters away. Is that good advice?
It's excellent advice. I think that that's the key thing. The more one can be prepared mentally and physically, have those things ready, you know where those documents are, put them in a bag. My daughter was certainly worried as she went to bed tonight about her cuddle toy. If she had to leave, you know, would she be able to take it with her? But I think that's the key thing. The more we are prepared for these things, the better we can be. Make sure that you are putting in all preventative measures around your house as well, keeping all the windows closed, any dead leaves piled up, those sort of things, make sure they're cleared out. There are a number of amazing organizations that do fire safety and awareness around the house that really one should use at the time when you're not under panic and get the advice and the steps to put in place, because those things are vital. And we'll see what the night holds. I certainly have spent many nights on the fire line with fire departments previously evacuating people, and it is quite frightening. I've been with people who've tried to evacuate their dining room furniture along with them. And I think the key thing is, you know, just making sure you have your valuables to hand, and the important documents, the important mementos that you can carry that is not going to be cumbersome and hold you down. And also, one doesn't know when you're evacuating always where you are going to be going to. There are halls that are open in facilities, and there's been a huge outpouring of support in this case for the UCT, the university students who have had to be evacuated from their residence to house them overnight, to care for them, and donations of food. So the city is really galvanizing around those in need tonight to make sure that they're cared for and looked after through the night.
Well, I think that's something we should talk about in just a moment. I want to talk about people who've outpoured. But before I do that, it's always handy if you give your daughter a cuddle toy that has a fragrance. This is a chocolate bunny from Easter. So anyway, so I'm glad she's got her cuddle toy. That's important. People neglect that. That can be very stressful for a child. So I've been getting multiple reports that Gift of the Givers has done some remarkable work helping out. Do you know anything about that? Have you heard about that?
I have. I've seen the reports. They're a phenomenal organization that whenever there is any type of crisis, you will undoubtedly hear Gift of the Givers mobilizing their resources and their network. And they've been assisting with food for 4,000 students, along with many businesses who've joined it with them to provide those services. But it's along with the Gift of the Givers who do great work, and the restaurants in the areas, and individuals, and moms and dads, and grandparents who all feel that we feel helpless at home, wanting to help. And many people want to go to the scene and see if they can help, which is always the worst thing to do. Stay far away from it. Let emergency vehicles have the space to do their work. But the fire stations and around the area have been the drop-off point for donations throughout the day, and it's fantastic that everybody gets behind it, whether it's ordering a online delivery of pizzas for the firemen, to water and ice and eye drops. It's all appreciated, and it just Cape Town really pulls together when there's a fire like this, and unfortunately we get them too regularly, but people want to help, and they do, and it's phenomenal to see it. And I think our firefighters, when they come off that fire line exhausted, they really do appreciate knowing that the city of Cape Town and its residents have been looking after them, thinking about them, and caring for them during this time. But yeah, Gift of the Givers have done amazing work, and they always will do it. Whatever the crisis at hand, they are there to be called on, and they do deliver amazingly.
Well, thank you so far. A couple of other quick questions very quickly. But before I do that, a lot of people have surged into the stream since you and I started talking, and they don't know who the heck I'm talking to. So if you could briefly introduce yourself just so people know, because I'm probably going to mispronounce your surname. So
my name is Nicola Joel. I'm a ward councillor for the City of Cape Town. My ward 54 is Atlantic Seaboard, so not directly in the fire line, but we have had our share of bad fires. And you're just sharing the experiences of what's been happening in the city today.
Well, thank you. So a couple things here. Now, if this is outside your wheelhouse or your expertise, because you're a ward councillor, it's maybe not something you're involved in. I mean, I don't know how your local government breaks down responsibilities. I know how that's done at a provincial and national level. But if you're familiar with it, that's great. If you're not, that's okay. But here in the U.S., we have a lot of surge capacity when there's massive wildfires in the West or the mountain states or something horrific like, hurricanes and things in the Gulf states. We surge first responders from around the country. There's a network to do this. Does South Africa or the Western Cape, either of them have a capacity to bring people in from Stellenbosch or Hermanus or elsewhere around the country to help out, or the folks that are there now kind of stuck on their own?
Depends which sort of level of organization you're talking about. So in terms of the municipal firefighting services, absolutely. They will bring in resources from other municipalities across the province who will come and help and fight the fire. And volunteers as well, our wildfire fighters, volunteer organizations, they also have a network of bases across the Western Cape, and those people will come in quickly and assist. So there definitely is a sharing of resources and assistance at these times. Likewise, when we've had other fires outside of the city of Cape Town, those resources have been redeployed to areas outside of our jurisdiction to help. So there really is a great cross-sharing of resources.
Well, that's good to hear. And it sounds like contingencies are planned for. As you mentioned, unfortunately, the area has a Mediterranean climate and fires are a common occurrence. And we should mention to people, you know, the FinBus actually kind of needs fire now and then. So it's another whole issue to talk about.
Yes.
But
yeah.
So here, there's a couple of things here. First off, you mentioned restaurants are rushing to help out. This is phenomenal. I mean, restaurants have been under incredible pressure as the tourism industry has been virtually destroyed by the National Coronavirus Command Council's dictates over the past 15 months or so. And many restaurants have gone under, including South Africa's oldest pub, which is in Cape Town, has gone out of business. So this must be yet more pressure from restaurants, but they've stepped forward to help in the breach, to help people in need.
Isn't it amazing? I mean, it really is so touching that they have gone through the most horrendous crisis themselves. It's phenomenal to see them coming out and supporting in a time when they're also under immense pressure. So you're absolutely right. To see restaurants open their doors, to come along to the fire station with 20 pizzas made and donated, it's wonderful to see. We have seen a huge amount of restaurants closing. They have been really hard hit with the lockdown regulations, the curfews, the ban on alcohol sales. It's really impacted our whole hospitality industry terribly. But you know, people are rebuilding from that. And we're seeing tourists coming back, which is fantastic. So hopefully it will continue to build and get better. The good news in terms of South Africa's oldest restaurant, you're referring to Percy's Tavern there.
Yes.
They've reopened under new ownership. They have reopened and seem to be doing great things. And there's a lot of energy by people wanting to come out and support. And I think that's the key thing, that the South African residents realize, Cape Townians realize, that we need to come out and support our local businesses and keep them going.
No, that's awesome. I didn't know that Percy's had reopened. That's good news, I hope. But one of my concerns, maybe if we talk in a conversation later, we talk about my concerns is about consolidation in the industry, but that's a whole separate thing. But great to hear the restaurants are trying to play the role. And a final thing, because your phone is obviously blowing up. I keep hearing it chirping there. You've got constituents, you've got work to do. So you've been very generous with your time and you came on no notice. So I'm very grateful for that. But I did want to ask this because I did see this on your Facebook page. I've got the impression that dormitories or residences were destroyed or damage for UCC students, and many of them have nothing right now. And so people are trying to get together and raise things like basic toiletries and toothbrushes and deodorant and necessities of life. Is that accurate?
So the dormitories themselves, as I understand, haven't been damaged by the fire, but obviously there is a lot of smoke damage in the area, and we're not sure when the UCT students will be allowed to go back to their residence. So it's fantastic to see places like Camps Bay High School do this drive for donations of basic toiletries, because many of those students will have left home left their dorm rooms without properly packing a bag, not sure how long they'll be going for. They may have thought, I'll be going for a couple of hours, and it may be a couple of days that they will have to have alternative accommodation. So really anything that people can do to assist will be welcomed, and they don't know what they're going to come back to. There will be a lot of smoke damage in the area, but as far as I'm aware, the actual residence buildings themselves haven't been touched by the fire.
Okay, well, I think that's very helpful to hear, because I saw footage of some residential areas in flames, and I didn't know if that was student housing or private houses. Seems to be private housing.
There have been some private houses damaged. I'm not sure yet aware of how many have been damaged, but there have been a number that have been damaged by the fire.
Excellent. Excellent for sharing that. Thank you. And here's a real serious question. I don't know if you have the answer on this, but you mentioned volunteers have been helping out. Will the nationwide curfew, is it eased for tonight in Cape Town so that people can help out, or is that still in effect because the curfew is almost here? People have to be home at 11.
People do have to be home at midnight. Maybe at midnight, I think it is.
I'm sorry. They have stopped serving alcohol at 11 o'clock. Sorry.
Yes, that is correct. So, there's no easing of the national regulations tonight. But most of these volunteers who work for the organizations already have permits to allow them to travel outside of those hours. So they would be covered. And I have to say, I think all the emergency services and law enforcement are so focused on the fire and the line and traffic control and those sort of things that is where their focus is. And I'm sure anybody in a soot-covered outfit will be given the rite of passage, clearly.
Yeah. See no, it might be see no evil. That's not encouraging people to be out misbehaving tonight in Cape Town. But if you're helping, that's probably the reality there. Well, listen, I have to thank you very much. I'd love to keep you longer. You're a pleasure to talk to. You're very informative. Thank you so much. And you're the first official from Cape Town I've ever spoken to. So,
lovely.
Yeah, I know. I seem to only attract officials from Gauteng when I talk to them. So.
Now you've got a contact in Cape Town. You're welcome to call anytime.
Well, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. God bless and good luck to Cape Town. And I hope that things get better. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Take care. Bye.